Good morning, this is Daz on The Cat, The Toon and The Red. And joining us this morning is a local star that is currently shining bright across the universe. It's the amazing Amelia Corburn. Good morning, Amelia.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, yeah, really good, thank you. Thank you for asking. It's such a pleasure having you on the show, Amelia. You've just released your debut album, Between the Moon and the Milkman. Life must be pretty exciting for you at the moment.
It is, yeah. I've been waiting for this moment for quite a while. Like, the plans have been there for years, so finally having it out and loads of things happening at once is fun, but also quite scary.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this first album, Between the Moon and the Milkman. Obviously, tell us about the tracks, but I want to know about that title as well.
So it's as with many debut albums, it's a collection of songs that I've written over, gosh, many years. I think the oldest track on the album was written in 2017. So that's the main theme running through it is just, you know, songs I've written over the years. But there's also like connections of travel because I studied languages at uni, and a lot of the songs tell stories of the places I've been, the people I've met, and also a lot of the tracks were written either during at night time. I was living at either at uni with like housemates or with my parents, so I was often like sat, my most creative time was at night time trying to sing really quietly into my phone voice recorder. But also there's like sort of, especially in tracks like Seesaw, there's that mysterious element talking about, you know, creatures that come out at night. So I took the album title from a lyric from Seesaw, Between the Moon and the Milkman. And I thought it was a really nice kind of piece of imagery that it's very evocative in terms of it can mean at nighttime, but it can also be a physical space or a metaphorical space. Yeah. And I actually just got the phrase off Google. It's not very glamorous. Yeah.
That's a great.
So I just like wanted to read about nighttime, and I found that one, and it turns out not many people have heard of it, including myself. So it worked out for the best.
No, I would have just kept that for yourself. Yeah, I wouldn't have mentioned anything else. Do you have a favourite song on there? Because obviously some of these have been crafted over years and have been in your back pocket ready for the album. Do you have a favourite song, or is that like asking your favourite child?
I think my favourites change a lot. Like your favourite band changes or your favourite book. I think for me, a lot of the songs, like you say, I've sang for so long, so I'm not bored of them, but I'm very used to them. Although, actually, Bill Ryder-Jones, who produced the album, did give a lot of them a whole new lease of life by giving his, like, spin on the song. Mm. But my favourite would probably be maybe Nodding Dog or Seesaw, one of the more spookier tracks, especially Seesaw, because I literally finished that song on the way down to the studio, so I'd never played it live to anyone.
Wow.
And it was completely new for me, and I really like the lyrics and the tune of that one.
Brilliant. And tell us about that process of recording that album then. Was it a scary process? How much did you enjoy recording that album?
I loved it. I chose, well, obviously working with Bill was incredible because he's a fantastic musician in his own right, but also a brilliant producer. So like his ideas, just having him on board for his creativity and his brain was amazing. But as well, because the studios is in the Wirral, in lovely seaside town West Kirby.
Right.
So I was just there for 3 weeks and I had my own little apartment, and it was just gorgeous weather. And it was really, I think that was very special, rather than doing it just like in a studio in my house or down the road. It was a whole new element of inspiration being by the seaside in a whole new place. And I really just buckled down and did nothing else for 3 weeks except record. So I think that was the perfect way to do it. Just do it and not have any distractions.
Yeah, and get your head in the space. Sounds amazing. We're chatting with Amelia Corburn this morning, who's a local girl. She's from Middlesbrough. And we're chatting about her new album, and we'll chat a little bit more about what's coming next for her right after this. Hide in the lazy shadow, sun comes.
can't stretch. You'll be waiting by my side in the morning. Sail in the gloaming as a breeze rocks the boats. You'll be waiting by my side when he comes. But a howl slips from his lips, he's sinking ships when the tide rolls in.
Good morning, this is Daz on The Cat, The Tune and The Red, and that is the beautiful music of Amelia Corburn. She's with us this morning. Thank you so much for your time and for joining us across the northeast. You are a local girl, you're from the borough. Does the local area have an influence on your music, do you think?
In a way, yeah, because when I was a kid, my mum and dad always took me to Saltburn and Redcar. A lot of my songs, especially my early work, like, has been influenced by like maritime themes. I love singing like sea songs that I've made, or songs that have that sort of nautical imagery in it. So anything that's like mythology and the ocean and pirates, all of that, I think it's fascinating, and I've always had a bit of an affinity for it, I suppose. So the look, I think being by the coast for sure. Yeah. Not so much like the industry. There's a lot of folk singers and musicians generally who are inspired by that, and I haven't written about that yet, but I guess just wherever I'm based at the time of writing a song, I'll write about. So when I was in Mexico, I wrote about that, and in Paris, I wrote about my experiences there. So now I'm living in Middlesbrough again. It's probably, yeah, there will be some more borough
some more influences.
Song.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You've been described as having the unforgettable melodic ability of Paul McCartney. I mean, how amazing is that to be compared to him, Amelia?
I'm massively inspired by Paul McCartney, and I think when we wrote that, it was sort of like trying to infer that. I mean, I'm not comparing myself to Paul McCartney, of course, but I write in the same style as like melody is king.
Yes.
The lyrics to me aren't as important, although I do like, you know, writing storytelling lyrics. The melody, I want it to be catchy, but not in an obvious way. So a song that sort of has a hook that it goes in ways that you don't expect it to, and chords that you wouldn't quite think of being there. And I love Paul McCartney's writing, but especially what they call, well, I don't know if I can swear on live on air, but granny, so you can cut that out, especially what they call like the sort of granny songs, stuff like Martha, My Dear, Your Mother Should Know, those vaudeville inspired songs I really like. And that comes across, I hope it comes across in my songwriting.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely beautiful. And I mean, who else would be your influences, Amelia?
I mean, it really varies in terms of actual writing and compositions. Yeah, Paul McCartney, but also Jeff Lynne of ELO, more folk-based songwriters from the past, like Leonard Cohen, Nick Drake. I like Scott Walker. But then I was brought up with my dad's record collection, which is as eclectic as my influences. So yeah. I love The Clash growing up, The Sex Pistols,
wow.
The Wedding Present, who I supported, and yeah, Steve Harley.
That's amazing.
And also musical theatre, I loved Doris Day, and I had posters of Judy Garland, which isn't quite as cool as the Sex Pistols, but yeah, I really love. So it's very broad, basically.
That's a brilliant mix, Amelia. It's absolutely fantastic. We recently lost Steve Harley, who was just incredible, and you supported him on a tour with him. That must have been an amazing experience.
It was, especially I was only about 20 at the time, and I hadn't really had any brushes with fame or supported an artist of his like sort of caliber. So I remember I was at uni and I got like a call from like a block number, and it was Steve Harley, because he'd kind of gone through the agents and he's like, oh, I really like her music. I'd love to get him involved, not just for the local Teesside show, but for my other show in Holmfirth. And he rang me and I was like, he's like, hi, Amelia, it's Steve. I was like, what is going on here? Like, I'm chatting to Steve Harley on the phone in my uni digs. And he was really nice, really nice man. I was really sad to hear the news, because he was very like instrumental, I suppose, in those early days of my career and getting me on. He didn't just have me to support on, like, before he went on, he chatted to me and my mum, and he got me to play on stage with him. So I sang backing vocals for Come Up and See Me, Make Me Smile. So it was a really fond memory, and one that I'll cherish.
That's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. You're just about to embark on another tour yourself. Tell us about what audiences can expect when they come and see you on this tour, Amelia.
They'll expect the same old rubbish patter between songs and my album, but this year it'll be different. Well, very different, because I'll be going on tour with a band. The sound will be fuller. I'll still be up, star of the show, front and centre, like with my voice and my uke, but there will be a bigger accompaniment to emulate the record, I suppose, and just give it something different.
And you're coming back home to the Georgian Theatre in Stockton, which is fantastic. I mean, how much are you looking forward to playing there?
Oh, I can't wait. I've never actually played. Oh, no, I have. About 10 years ago, I was supporting the South Martins when I was doing my covers. But yeah, I haven't done a headline show there ever. So that'll be really exciting. It's a brilliant venue. I'm actually supporting St. Saviour there as well at the end of March, who's another, based in London now, but another local musician who works with Bill Ryder Jones. So I'll be doing two gigs there this year. But the headline one, on the 8th of June, I think I'm really looking forward to.
That's fantastic. And I saw from your socials your bloopers reel from the Sleepy Town video. And it even made me blush a little bit there from that. How much fun have you had making those videos?
It was brilliant. Like, every single video I did for my singles were different. So we had Seesaw, which was the very much like 60s film noir inspired one, with Spooky Puppetry from Whip It Up, who are a local charity. But then Sleepy Town was just having Bill Fellows, who
has actually
been in cover. My mum was like, oh, can you get his autograph? Worried, Ted Lasso. This time up with that Alan Partridge, I think.
Yes.
He'd be in Lords. And he's great. And I think, obviously, those bloopers, we were effing and blinding, but he probably doesn't get a chance to do that when he's working on something more professional than my music video. So we had loads of fun, and he was lovely. And Jay Musaman, a local artist, she directed it, not directed it, she filmed it. Andy, my manager, directed it. And we got my boyfriend was a cameo as the office heartthrob, and we got loads of friends involved. And it was a long but really funny day.
Excellent. So what's next for you? Because it's such an exciting time for you.
Next is touring the album on tour, obviously, and in festivals across the summer. And I suppose, even though I've just finished and released the debut album, that took me about 8 years to write and release. So if I want to get album two out soon, I'm going to have to get cracking. I'm not the fastest, most prolific songwriter. So I'm just trying to get better at like devoting time every day when and if I can to that.
Yeah. Well, we're so proud of you, being a local girl. We wish you all the very best for the success that you so richly deserve. Good luck with the tour, and come back and see us again, will you? And keep us updated of how you're doing.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
Just one more thing before you go. Where can people find out more about you and your music?
I've got my website, ameliacorburn.co.uk, and then you can find me on different social medias, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok even. I've just joined Twitter. Amelia Corburn, I think, is pretty much my handle on all of them. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, all the very best, Amelia, and here's another track from Amelia Corburn.
Whistle that the whip is cracked. The good book told me never to look back. Heading off the beaten track. My blood is red, my eyes are black. I coughed and spluttered from my throat. Every single word from every note that my slighted lover wrote. With poisoned pen he'd gladly gloat. And how much can you love until you loathe? Itchy feet that longing for new clothes. Atlas spread, I spun the globe round and round from Mexico. River, take me far from this sleepy town. Did you believe me when I said the road less followed is where I shall tread? My patience hanging by a thread. Why draw the knife when I'm already dead? So I hit the road, push came to shove. One foot down and one hand in my glove. The earth looks lazy from above. It's funny what we wouldn't do for love. It's crazy what we wouldn't do for love. And how much can you bend until you break? No matter where you are, the heart shall ache. Of lands afar and cactus trees, I'm yearning to speak Portuguese. Muito obrigado. For the thrills I seek, spirit willing, but your flesh is weak. Underlying these words I speak, you can choose to be a beast or to stay meek. The teeth and tine are on the run from this land towards the rising sun. All these plans he made have come undone. Wayfaring lady, I am one. So come on children, rise up from the dirt. My skin is thick so feelings cannot hurt. Nomadic life sounds fun to me, I'll close my eyes.